Have your Bibles this morning, turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. And let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. As I said last week, we're gonna go through Revelations as long as the Lord has led me in that direction. We've done it 2 or 3 times on Wednesday night, but I just feel that it is time that we go through the book of Revelations. A lot of people are scared of it, and we done the first sermon on it last week. And so let's look at God's Word in verse 9, chapter 1. And the Word says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the Word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see in a book, and write in a book, and send it to the 7 churches which are in Asia. Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning, Lord. And Lord, I know there's a lot of questions about the book of Revelation, Lord God. There's a lot of talk about it, Lord God, among pastors and theologians, Lord God. But Father, help us, Lord God, to read your word, Lord God, and read it for what it is and for what it says and to who it is, Lord. And Father, we just pray and just thank you for those that are here this morning, Lord God. And I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know you, that they find their way to you, Lord God. It's this day, Lord God, by your word and by your spirit, Lord God. And Father, I pray that as I stand behind this pulpit again, Lord God, and answer your call to preach the gospel, Lord God, that you forgive me for any sin in my life, Lord God, and Father, that you speak through me, Lord God, for your glory, Lord. Let me stand back, Lord God, and be a mouthpiece for you, Lord God, and your people. And God, I pray that we would hear your word, God, and do what your word says. And Father, we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. The book of Revelation, somebody said last Sunday when I said Revelations that a bunch of people went, oh. Revelations is not a... It's just like the rest of the Bible. A lot of preachers, a lot of teachers, a lot of people that are supposed to be teaching the Word of God want to leave the book of Revelations out, just like they want to leave hell out. And anything that scares somebody, they want to take it out. But I want to tell you this morning, the book of Revelations is just like any book that you read. Every book has a beginning, every book has an end. The book of Revelation is the end of the Bible, the last chance for God's people to realize that he is coming back, and these are things that are going to happen when he comes back, or before he comes back, and after he comes back. And the thing I want you to realize this morning, this book was written, what we're reading today, and through the Revelation 21-22, that this book is written to the churches, okay? This book is not written, it is not written to all the world out there. God wants everybody to read the Word of God. But this is written to the churches because some of the churches that we'll go over the next several weeks are churches that thought they were doing real good. Religious people that thought they were doing real good. But God reminds them that they were not doing that good, and he reminds them in the very end. There's one church here that we'll talk about that is the only church that God is coming after, the only church that is doing right. And so it don't make any difference this morning if you're Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Lutheran, whatever you are, whatever you call yourself. That don't make any difference. What makes a difference is the church that is and the person that is doing the things that God says. Now, John, the writer of the book of Revelation, was cast away. He was banished The King James says he was banished from the island. He was banished to this island of Patmos, which is off the western part of Asia, which is now Greece. And it is an island that is still today. It has inhabitants of about 3,000 people that live on it. A lot of people go there to vacation and things like that. But it was a real island. It was a real place. And John was the writer. And John, he is exiled there, basically. The Romans have run him off. And he winds up on this island. And that's where we'll pick up. And he says, I, John. And John reminds us in the scripture that he is a man. I, John, both your brother and companion. John wants us to know, wants you and I to know, that he is our brother, that he is our companion, that he is someone that is looking out for our welfare, that he is just like you. But he is just like us. He is just a man. And so he says, John, both your brother and companion, in the tribulation and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so he is a man of God. He is with us in the study and the word and the tribulation and all the things of Jesus Christ. And he says, with patience, he is a brother in Jesus Christ. And that's something that you and I need to be patient, that all these things are going to happen. There's nothing we can do about it but hang on to Jesus, because we all win in the end. So there's no need to be worried about all this stuff. And a lot of people think about the book of Revelation, just like I said, somebody said last Sunday, people went, oh, the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a great, if you're a Christian this morning, the book of Revelation is the greatest book in the Bible, because that's the end. It's over. I don't know about y'all. I mean, I love my family and I love all my friends. I love all y'all, but I don't want to stay here the rest of my days. None of us wants to live in the world the way it is the rest of our days. God has a place prepared for us, and John, the simple man who is our brother and our companion, is on the island of Patmos, and he is going to tell us what God wants to hear. He goes on there and says, let me pick up verse 10. He says, I was in the Spirit. Stop right there. Several stopping points in there. I was in the Spirit. John was in the Spirit before he could hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, people, if you want God to use you and you want to get instruction from God, you have got to be prayed up, read up in the Bible. You have got to be a person of God that is ready to hear from God. And John was ready, because he was banished to this island, or thrown to this island, because the Romans were mad because of what he was preaching and teaching. So he was ready, and he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He was in the Spirit on a Sunday. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, on the day that the Lord wanted him to hear. Psalms 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He was there. He was ready. And that's what when we go through this whole book, the thing I want you to be, if you're not ready today, before we get to the end of this book, I want you to be ready. Because the day and the hour, nobody knows. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, it says nobody knows the day or the hour. But these are the things that God told John to pay attention to, and not to tell. Well, he wants us to tell the whole world. But what I'm getting at is, this was for the church. This was for the seven churches. And so he goes on here and says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. God told John to write down what he saw on a scroll, where he could present it to who? The churches. So everything that we're going to read, and we go through the book of Revelation, if you hear from every service to the end of it, our revival will break some of it up, but you're going to see that God tells John when to write and when not to write. Because there are some things in Revelation that get along about Revelation 13 or 14 that God tells John, don't write this. And then he'll pick up and tell him to write something because it is so horrible what is going to go on in the tribulation period. And we're going to go through that. Now I want to point out something else to you. He says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the first and the last. What you see, write down in the book to the seven churches. And God, what I want to point out to you is in verse 10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. And we're going to cover this today. But what every God, I've said it the last couple months, God is God. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Almighty. He is everything. He is, I've told y'all, a lot of us see him as, you know, everybody, maybe not everybody, but everybody my age saw the Wizard of Oz. And remember when Dorothy and the Lion and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man got to the Wizard? It was the Wizard, the Almighty Oz. He was behind this curtain and this smoke was going everywhere. He was mighty. God is all of that, okay? But God wants you to know that even though he is mighty and John heard his trumpet sounding, that he is God and that he is a man. And we'll talk about it here in a minute as he's in his word. So anyway, he says, what you see, write in the book and send it to the seven churches, which is Asia, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see a voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lamps. Those seven golden lampstands are the seven churches. John saw the seven churches that God had just told him, write this down and give it to these churches, and he named the churches one at a time. The seven lampstands are the churches. It's not something far-fetched. I mean, I've read every kind of commentary on Revelations that there is. And I mean, there are some people that get way out there with Revelation. But I want you to know that Revelations, you can read it like any other book. And what I want to point out, people think, just skip ahead a little bit. We're going to be going through it in the next couple of months. People get into the locusts and all of their helicopters and they got wings. It is not a helicopter. It is a locust. Do you not think that our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, if he wanted to say helicopter, he could have put helicopter? He said it's a locust. That's what it is. So everything that he said, there's a point of, my point is, why does man want to take what he said, a trumpet blast? Well, that could be a great burst of air. That could be a great noise. That could be this. That could be that. God said it was a trumpet. It was a trumpet. If God says it, that's the way it is. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. And so Paul, I always get John and Paul mixed up, so y'all forgive me. John's the one writing this, not Paul. But he is on this island. God has asked him to write this down to the seven churches. In verse 12 again, then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, which is the churches, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with white garments, down to his feet, and grid about his chest with a golden band. Let's stop right there. He wants us to know, here we go, the Wizard of Oz part. He wants John to know that he is God. He wants John to tell the churches that he is God. And he says he is one like the Son of Man, with garments down to his feet. I think that garment, and this is what God gave me in 1978, I wrote down at the house in a book, that garment represents that God is eternal, that he is forever. It says that right here, then I turned to see the voice and spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven lampsticks, and in the midst of the seven lampsticks, one man, the Son of God, clothed in garments down to his feet, that he was girded up his chest, and his chest, it says, with a golden band, that he was powerful, that he was strong, that there was strength, that he was a God. His head and his hair was white like wool. I think that white, or what the Lord revealed to me, is that white means that he is pure. There is nothing, there is no sin about him, there is no, there. He is God. He is pure, he is God, he is our Lord and our Savior, and there is not one spot or blemish on him that we put our trust and our hope in. He is clean, as it says right here, it says, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. He is all-knowing, he is all-seeing, he can see. You know, you see these movies and things nowadays where they use the eyes of people sometimes get red and they can see through walls and all this. That he wants us to know that he is that. And that's where they get a lot of this stuff for these movies, right out of the Bible. He wants us to know that he is that he is all sin. And then he says in verse 15, his feet were like fine brass. That he is the best that there is. That he is God. That there is nothing no better than he is. It says, as if refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. His voice was like the sound of waters rushing to John. Remember, John is having this dream. When you have a dream, does it not seem real to you? John was having, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God himself was talking to him, and he was in the presence of God. Remember Moses, when he went up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments, remember God was in the burning bush and he couldn't even look upon him. John saw this, he saw God, but he didn't see God. He saw God was in this fashion because God wasn't ready for man to see him. We'll all see him one day in heaven, but he wanted John to know and to tell the churches that he was awesome, that he was clean, that he was powerful, that he was strong, that he was loving. And his eyes were like flame. His feet were like fine brass, as if they were refined in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of waters. He had in his hand seven stars. Them seven stars are the pastors of the churches that are the seven lamps. They're the pastors of the churches. Now I'll tell you something. I'll stop right there. And he says, let me finish verse 16. He had his hand in his right hand seven stars out of his mouth, one a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining. Consciousness was like the sun shining in strength. He's talking to the church, and he was talking. He wanted to look. I'm not only talking to the church. I'm talking to the pastor too. It's not only good for the goose, but it's good for the gander. It's what I am fixed to tell you in this book of Revelation is good for everybody from the pastor to the church. I want everybody to know. And so, in verse 17 he says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Remember we talked about the Wizard of Oz and all the awesomeness and all the power and all the smoke and all the lights and all the things that's going on. God wanted us to know that was him, okay? That the Bible says to fear God is the beginning of knowledge. That he is somebody that is bigger than we are, that has our life in his hand, that is in control of everything, your next breath, your next heartbeat. He is in control. But look at what the rest of the chapter says for him. So John is writing this, and he says, I fell at his feet, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of God. Don't be afraid of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't fear me. told John, don't fear me. Don't be scared of me. He said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Jesus Christ tells John, look, they hung me on the cross. They tried to kill me. I died on that cross. They put me in that tomb. I was dead. I arose on that third day, and I am alive and I live forevermore. That's what I am alive and I live forevermore. He was the firstborn, the first dead, and the first to rise again. Why? Because he wanted us to know that he rose again so that you and I would rise again. That may be beyond your thinking, but what God is saying to John is, I died and I rose and I was the first one, but because I died and rose from that grave, you also that believe in me will live forever and you will rise again. That's right when we baptize somebody. You baptize them under water and they come up clean. And that's what God is telling John right here. Don't be afraid. I am God. I am the first and last. He says again, do not be afraid. I am the first, the last. I am he who lived and was not and was dead. He wants you to know I was dead and he was dead for you and I. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He is alive forevermore. And listen to this next part. Pay close attention to this next part. He says, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. He says, write these things. God has the keys to hell and death. A lot of us may not realize that this morning. You know, it's funny how we pray for people and that are sick. I mean, it's not funny. That's what we're supposed to do. We pray for people who are sick. And we can be as well as, you know, everything can be going right and all of a sudden, boom, it's us, you know. God wants us to know that he is in control of hell and he is in control of death. And he wants you to know that he is also in control of life, and those that believe in him have eternal life. I think about that. I related to my two cousins. I had two cousins that were raised out here, Parson Uncle Joe, pastor of the First Assembly of God in Huntsville, Texas, and Don and Mike, and both of them were sick, and Mike was real sick, and Don called me one day, and he said, look, you're the only one that can talk to Joe Michael, and he's dying with liver failure, and I just want you to go talk to him. So I went and talked to Mike. I sat down with him in his living room, and he said, I'm fine with the Lord. You know, we prayed. He said, don't worry about it. I said, I'm going to go tell your little brother. Well, Don was praying for Mike. I hope you catch what I'm talking about here. But Don died before Mike did with lung cancer. You see, God said, I am in control of life and death and hell. I'm in control of that. And nobody else. I don't care if another illustration. I had a friend in Dallas about 25 years ago. His son was getting married in Las Vegas. And they had a business out there. And he drove one of these big motorhomes. And on a Wednesday before he left on a Friday to go to his son's wedding, he went to the cardiologist in Dallas. They run him through every test that they could run. He called me happy as he could. He said, I ain't got no problems. I got 100% health. You know, and he said, my heart's fine. All my blood work's fine. I'm going to Las Vegas. The Bill's going to get married. And I'm going to stay out there and help him with the factory, get it light. They just put this factory in out there. I'm going to help him with that. And then I'll call you when I get back to Dallas. Bill drove to Dallas. This is Bill Sr. He drove to Las Vegas. Went to Las Vegas, got there like on a Saturday. They were running around town there, and that day he went to his camper and said, I'm going to take a nap. I'll see y'all tonight. He went to his camper. He didn't show up. They went out there, and they finally did. You can be fine this morning. You can be 10 years old. You can be 12 years old. You can be 8 years old. You can be 100 years old. God is in control of your heartbeat, and your last breath. But the main thing right here, he said, and I have the keys to Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen and the things which you are and the things which will take place after this. I want you to know that I am in control, John, of your heartbeat. I am in control of your life. I am in control of hell. And I can send you to heaven or hell according to the way that you live. A lot of people don't want to talk about hell. I like that. Can't even think of where it's at. Lazarus and the rich man. Vivid illustration of hell. The rich man goes to hell and Lazarus goes to heaven. The beggar goes to heaven. And God has control on where you go. I got the keys. I can open up that door and send you to hell. I can open this door and send you to eternal life. But he says, write these things down. And he said, write them down, everything that takes place after this. And so he's on this island and God is telling John what is going on. He says, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven lampstands. The stars are the angels of the churches, of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands you saw are the seven churches. He said, write this down. Tell the churches. I want you to know. I want you to write this down because I am in control of your life. And look, that's the first chapter of Revelation. There's not nothing scary about that. God is just telling us that, hey, I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. And this is what's going to happen. He's telling our brother John, he is with us in believing the Bible, and believing Jesus Christ as God. He is with us. He is just a man. And even though he goes before God in his almightiness and his presence, that God is still a man. And he said, don't be afraid. People get so scared of revelations. People get so scared of death and all the things that's going on in this world. There is no reason in this world for you and I as Christians to be worried about it because God has it in his hand. The old song, he got the whole world in his hand. He knows. He knows everything about you and I. There's nothing you can hide. He is all-knowing. He knows everything. You can't hide nothing from God. Don't come here this morning and think you can hide something from God because you can't. He is all-knowing. And remember, he's got them keys in his hand. He's got them keys in his hand to death, to Hades. He is the one that's in control. There's nobody else in control. All the stuff that's going on in the world, all the things that's going on in the world is terrible. The things that's going on in the world that we live in right now. The Lord has led me to one more scripture I'm going to read if I can find it here this morning. But God is King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. He is everything. And without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. In Thessalonians chapter 5, I've already mentioned it once this morning. He tells us, now he's telling this to the church. Telling this to the church. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you and I, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, But let us watch and be sober, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, remember the breastplate he had, and love, and as a helmet of hope and salvation, for God did not appoint us to wrath. God did not appoint us, we're his children, he loves us, but to observe salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, confront each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. God said, do what he wants us to do. Don't worry about. I read a commentary of Billy Graham this morning on that very scripture of devotional I got. And he said, there's no reason in the world for men and women of God that are Christians to be wringing their hands and worrying about the things that's going on in the earth, because we know the end. Revelations is the end. That's the last book. We know it. And it's not something that's scary, that's far-fetched. If I can tell you about it, I guarantee you, if God can show me, he can show you. Because I ain't the sharpest cookie in the whole place. I'm gonna tell you that right now. But God will let you know, and he will. There's nothing to figure out. Again, I want to point this out. There's nothing to figure out. God says it's a locust, it's a locust. If he says it's an earthquake, it's an earthquake. Whatever he says, that's what it is. Face it. And the thing about it is, he holds the key to death, and he holds the key to Hades. And he is. I am. He is truthful. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is all powerful. He is all awesome. He is almighty. He is just. He is pure. He is everything that you need. And remember, you're never going to be perfect. You are never going to be perfect. Now, what did you say? I said, you are never going to be perfect. But with Jesus Christ as your Lord, you are made perfect through him. Amen. Through him. Father, I come to you this morning. Lord, I praise you and I honor you. And God, I just thank you for what you've given us today, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that your word hasn't fallen on deaf ears, Lord God. Father, that people understand that this book, Lord God, this last chapter, Lord God, and Father, I believe with all of my heart this morning that we are in the last chapter, Lord, that we are at the threshold, Lord God, of the end of times, Lord God. We are the threshold, Lord God, that all this is going to come to an end, Lord God. Not whether you're coming tonight, we don't know. Nobody knows the day or the hour, Lord God, but we know one thing, that you're in charge. We know that you wrote this first book and you wrote this last book, and God, that you are our King and our Lord and our Savior. And Father, I ask you right now, if there's one person in this church, Lord God, that doesn't know you this morning, God, that they would come forward, Lord God, and accept you, Lord God, not coming to me, Lord God, but getting on their knees and coming to you, Lord God, and just asking you in their heart. God, you say, for you so love the world that whoever believes, Lord God, that you'd save them, Lord God. And I pray right now, God, that they do that. God, I pray that as we play this hymn of invitation, Lord God, that every Christian in this church, Lord God, would come down here and fill these altars, Lord God, and get down on our knees and make a stand for you, Lord God, for we know, Lord God, that your word, that men and women through the ages, Lord God, and their prayers, Lord God, have changed you, have changed your thoughts on things. You're almighty. You're awesome. You're our God and our Savior. But God, throughout the ages, you have listened to people. And God, you love your people so much, Lord God, that you will give them what they want, God. And I ask you right now, God, that when Sister Ruth plays this piano, the first note, God, that your people that believe in you would come down here and get on their knees and pray for those that are lost. Pray for themselves. Pray for their families. God, it is only by you, Lord God. God, as I pray this prayer, reminded, God, of Moses, God, and when you wanted to destroy the children of Israel, Lord God, and Moses. Moses said, God, don't do that. And you didn't destroy the children of Israel, Lord God. You wanted to, but that man's prayer, Lord God. Moses is just a man, God, and we know that. So, God, I pray right now that people would understand that the power that you give them. And, God, they'd come down and they'd get on their knees, Lord God, and they would worship you, Lord God, and pray to you, Lord God. And, God, again, I pray that if there's one that's lost, that they come forward. If there's anybody who wants to join this fellowship, Lord God, I pray that they do that right now. God, we just turn this over to you and your precious Holy Spirit, God. In your precious name we pray, Lord God. Amen to God.